stories. Tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. Gotta love this weather. Another beautiful day. Another one coming tomorrow. On today's program, an Ingham County judge's decision dethroning Flint's emergency manager and could complicate what's next in Detroit. I'll talk to the plaintiff's lawyer in the lawsuit that has the governor's office scrambling. And you've had a few drinks, you're driving home, and then you see the red and blue lights in your rearview mirror. Are you about to have your life ruined with a DUI charge? I'll ask a DUI attorney with over 20 years of experience what you should do next. And also, is grandma using medical marijuana to treat her glaucoma? Well, that won't be for long if one state lawmaker has his way. He'll join me to explain. But first, municipalities across Michigan better get ready to see significant cuts to their budgets. That's what Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly's message yesterday was at the Michigan Municipal League's 2012 Capital Conference in Lansing, as the effort to eliminate the personal property tax for businesses is moving ahead. To talk about that and so much more, I'm joined by Dan Gilmartin, Executive Director and CEO of the Michigan Municipal League. Dan, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Michael. Glad to be here.
So I guess the good news is that Lieutenant Governor Kelly proposed eliminating the tax on only the industrial properties, which represents over $400 million of the total $1.2 billion collected from this tax in 2010. Could you hear a pin drop in the room when he said that?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly it's something that the governor and the lieutenant governor have been talking about, so it wasn't surprising necessarily. And to their credit, they've been working to try to find some replacement revenue. We'd like to see not only full replacement revenue, but we'd like to see a guarantee of that as well, because if you've been following state and local revenue sources over the last decade or two, you've found that basically the state legislature has been robbing funds that were originally slated to come to local units for things like cops and roads and parks and some of the everyday quality of life issues, and actually using them to plug holes in the state budget. So we're a little bit worried this happens again unless we see some guaranteed revenue. So we're going to continue to push on that one pretty hard.
The governor certainly is very clear that he's certain about eliminating the personal property tax, but it does get murky when we talk about the replacement for that revenue. What are the current proposals that make sense to you?
Well, again, we've talked about a constitutional amendment. We've talked about a firm guarantee because as I said earlier, I mean, right now in this state, a real major source of revenue that cities have is what we call the state shared revenue, which is a portion of the sales tax that comes back to communities. So in Michigan, you don't find different tax structures as you go from county to county or city to city like you find in many other states. Instead, we have a relatively streamlined process, and in fact, the state would then share in those proceeds rather than having sort of different hodgepodge type of systems when you move around the state. And that's all really broken down in the last decade. Over $4.4 billion, as I said, has been taken from local units and actually used for the state coffers. So
if
anything short of that guarantee, it really doesn't matter where it comes from, because I don't think there's anybody in the room that believes that it's going to be there in 5 years.
Now, if there is no guarantee, what will that mean to municipalities if just the industrial property personal property tax is cut, will they be able to make it?
Well, the tricky thing about personal property, and just for your listeners, we're not talking, it's kind of a misnomer. It has anything to do with residents, if you will, or citizens. It's basically business taxes. It's taxes on equipment. It's taxes on computers and machinery and those types of things. So it's really a business tax. And it's, as you can imagine, it really fluctuates from one community to another. So if you're in a relatively rural town with a lot of commercial and industry there, it's not necessarily a huge part of the budget. But if you're from a place like Lansing or a place like Dearborn or another area that has a large industrial sector, you'll find that it's an enormous part of their budget. So this would disproportionately affect older communities, larger communities, communities with a lot of manufacturing. And it's something, if it just goes away and it's not replaced, it's really not anything that they're going to be able to deal with, because we've been dealing with these cuts for over a decade now, and this would be a real death knell for those towns.
As the Michigan Municipal League, is your role then to openly criticize and campaign against this kind of a move?
Well, we certainly think it's a reckless move if we don't come up with guaranteed replacement. It's a difficult task. I'm having trouble explaining it to you. And I'm hoping I explained it in a way that the listeners can understand. So it's a difficult tax. It's hard to administer at the local level. It's sort of disproportionate in terms of who pays it, who doesn't. So updating the actual tax itself and trying to figure out how to make it more competitive is something that we're willing to come to the table on and been at the table.
Now,
but again, it like anything else, it is an important source of revenue, and we cannot continue to sort of cut our way to prosperity in this state. We've been trying that for too long.
But
it's not working, and we need some investment.
Very simply, this tax, it will have to be replaced by another tax, right, or some kind of an increase in the current tax.
Well, yes, or find replacement in other parts of the budget that we could then turn around and guarantee. I mean, and again, I keep saying guarantee, and I sound like a TV ad, but again, we've had over 500 local officials from across the state in Lansing this week, and they're just not buying it if they see another statute that can be whittled away at when the legislature needs money. I mean, we've seen that movie before. It didn't turn out so well. So
is there one?
That's really our push.
Is there somewhere where you can point to where you think that money could come from, and any proposal, specific one, that makes sense?
You know, again, we shied away as an organization from doing that because we didn't ask for this in the first place, and we don't think, quite frankly, that it's quite the business impediment that others do, and you know, we believe quite strongly that having strong, successful communities and communities that people want to live in and communities that businesses want to come to is a heck of a lot more important than the tax structure and the regulatory environment, and I think the numbers prove that out across the country. So I'm not sure it's sort of a false argument for us to go out there and say take it from this fund or take it from that fund, because it's not necessarily something we're looking at. But it all comes down to priority when it gets to that point in time. And we've got to prioritize having good communities, or we're going to continue to suffer economically in an ever-increasing environment where people can just move. People are more mobile than they've ever been. Jobs are mobile.
Indeed.
And if we don't have these kind of places, we're in trouble.
Well, and companies are also, and that's what justifies the move to cut this tax, is to avoid companies leaving Michigan. That's according to the governor, at least. I'm talking to Dan Gilmartin, Executive Director and CEO of the Michigan Municipal League. They have their Michigan Municipal League's 2012 Capital Conference in Lansing ongoing yesterday and today. So, Dan, I'm guessing the developments in Detroit were a topic of discussion at the conference. In your view, has the state done enough to help the city, or should lawmakers put more money into Detroit rather than pursuing a takeover?
Well, it's a difficult situation, but again, we certainly have seen Detroit has probably suffered worse than any community over the last several years, and much of it, quite frankly, has been decisions they've made inside the city, and some of it has been decisions coming out of the state government. So, the state government playing a role in getting down into the city and hopefully playing a partnership role in helping the city through this is something that I think the city would welcome. But again, there's a real trust factor in terms of what the state government actually wants to do and what state government can actually do as far as not only getting Detroit back in the black from a financial perspective, but also making it the kind of livable city and the kind of competitive city that we all need for it to be in Michigan.
Do you agree with the Detroit city officials saying that this consent agreement the governor produced is just not going to work and their demand to essentially remain in full power?
Yeah, well, I be honest with you, I've not read the entire agreement. I've been here all week in Lansing dealing with officials from across the state, so I'm not sure I can speak to the specifics on that. But I know that the city is looking at countering that, and it's got some ideas about changing the agreement around so that there's more representation. In general, I don't think it makes sense, or I don't think it's good policy for state government to come in and sort of impose its outside will on a particular community. But I do think in working in partnership, there's some real opportunities and some real possibilities to turn some things around, because some of the financial burdens that a city like Detroit faces with the enormous legacy costs they have and some of the other issues around infrastructure and whatnot will require sort of all hands on deck. So if we can get there, I think it could be a good outcome. But I'm hopeful that the governor and the leaders of Detroit can come to some sort of agreement where they can work together on this thing.
One last thing. When you look at Detroit, the enormous legacy costs involved, is that one of the reasons the state does need to get involved in maybe an AFM to restructure those and maybe rework some of the union contracts?
Well, you know, potentially, but again, from an AFM standpoint or an EM standpoint, as we have right now, an emergency manager, that's about sort of today's numbers getting you back to zero, if you will, and dealing with communities that are basically running budget deficits, which is something we can't do in the public sector, but when you just look at sort of general revenues and expenditures. But a long-term solution, and this is where, you know, I implore the state to get involved from a partnership standpoint. They could help with some of those long-term costs. They could help to defray some of those costs. They could help with bonding provisions. They could assist to basically get not only that city, but really cities, counties, you name it, throughout Michigan that are dealing with some of those issues, because the legacy costs that they have to get to former employees were basically set by the private sector. Cities followed along, and you saw what happened with the government, with the federal government intrusion of cash and a few years ago with General Motors and with Chrysler. That's kind of what got them off the dime, and we're not seeing that right now.
I want to ask you 30 seconds, but tell me, has the state really pursued any municipal-friendly policies in the last year?
Has who pursued it, I'm sorry?
Have state lawmakers pursued any real municipal-friendly policies in your mind that have really helped municipalities here in the state?
We certainly got some assistance on some laws dealing with some labor issues around Public Act 312. Some of that was canceled out by additional cuts and some additional measures and hoops that people have to jump through that really has created some red tape. But
is the answer not really, then?
Haven't seen much help. We've got roads that don't work. We've got transit systems that don't exist. We've got many communities that are suffering mightily, and so far nothing there. So we hope it's we turn the tide in that particular area.
Dan Gilmartin, Executive Director and CEO of the Michigan Municipal League, which wraps up its Capital Conference in Lansing today. Dan, thank you very much for joining us.
Great to be here.